have a Bible or a tablet and want to follow the scripture reading on there, we are using the book of Acts this morning, chapter 9, and it's verse 32 to 42. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydia. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydia was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord.
Thank you, Andy.
As I said earlier on, your name is important, and so are you. One, two.
That's on.
Now, in the Bible, gazelles, or small antelopes, are known for their grace and for their beauty. Some live where rains provide water, but one type, the Dorcas gazelle, can spend its entire life in the desert without drinking and receiving hydration only from plants. And this gives it a mysterious quality, rather like that of a Christian, whose source of life and love is an invisible fountain of living water, as Jesus promised. It says in John 7, verses 38 and 39, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him and her." By this, he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to this time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. And for background on this portion of the scriptures that we've read in Acts, the church had been growing in Asia Minor, which is a geographic area in Southwest Asia, and composing mostly of modern-day Turkey, as we now know it, and between the Black and the Mediterranean Sea. And Peter had been to minister to the Hebrew nation, and Peter travelled around Israel preaching the gospel and encouraging the Jews who have trusted in Jesus Christ. And when you think in reflection, your grace and your beauty are obvious when you care for others. I'll say that again. Your grace and beauty are obvious when you care for others. One of the things you notice about the two healings of Aeneas and Tabitha is that Peter addresses each person by name. Verse 34. Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Verse 40. Tabitha, get up. When Aeneas is healed, Peter tells him, get up and make your own bed. God's healing is always an expression of his love. Now, what about Peter? Do you think that his instructions to Aeneas was impatient? Commanding? Rude? Or encouraging? But then you have to consider Aeneas' reply. Again in verse 34. Immediately Aeneas got up. You know, he'd been lying in his bed for 8 years, but immediately he got up because he was healed. But the other great thing was that all those who lived in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Jesus said, we'd be known by our love. John 13, verse 35 says, by this all men and women will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Tabitha, or Dorcas, was a believer who excelled in charity and good works. When Peter arrived and was taken upstairs to the room where Dorcas lay, all the widows stood there crying and showing Peter just all the things that Dorcas had made. Dorcas was a skilled worker and her heart was a charitable heart. And like a few times where someone had either died or fell ill, the weeping families were ushered out of the room so that no negative feeling would be there to interrupt what Peter was going to do. And Peter, trusting in God, got down on his knees and prayed. Peter didn't just say, Dorcas, get up. He got down and he prayed. And that's maybe a lesson for all of us, that we should sometimes just get down and pray before we do many things. And when he called her name, she opened her eyes and she sat up. The miracle of raising her from the dead brought joy to Dorcas and to her fellow widows and friends. And then the added bonus. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Dorcas was able to continue her charitable works in a quiet and simple way. She quietly blessed others. How can we bless other people without pomp and ceremony? When you look at the two characters of Aeneas and Dorcas, and you think to yourself, one of them was very gifted, the other one wasn't. But we shall see that all that changes. In the past 4 years, we've experienced many, many things which we haven't experienced before, no matter what age we are. And there are new challenges around us every day, every week, every month, every year. We have to be careful not to have the attitude of, well, we've always done it that way, so we don't need to change. Because when we think that way, we won't have growth, we will see decline. Now, we're seeing growth in the children's work since we've been here and after all the COVID situation. Not only on a Sunday morning, but on a Friday night as well. It's growing. So I'm going to ask this question. Why do you think that the chaos work on a Sunday morning is so important? Why do you think that? Open question.
Because the children are learning.
They are. But then they do RE at school. They have school assemblies. So why is it so important here?
Bad
friends. Somebody just hit the nail on the head about truth. So, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've been talking with parents and with children just to find out what is going. Now, on Monday this past week, I went to Copton Hill Methodist Church for our granddaughter Indy's Harvest Festival, which was for reception and year one and year two. And it was brilliant. The place was absolutely packed with parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, aunties, uncles. They were there to support the children. Now, what was interesting was the head teacher had a program for the children. So they had six songs connected with Harvest Festival, from I'm a Dingley Dangley Scarecrow up to I Am the Lord of the Harvest and many others. But it was lovely. But in between the songs, they had 8 children from the different groups who would come up. Now, the teacher would call them by name, and that child felt important because that child was being recognized. And the child would come up, and sometimes it was just a simple thing like, God, thank you very much for the harvest. It was simple, but that child felt important because he or she had been named, and by the grace of God, they didn't fluff their lines either. They came across beautifully. And it seems to be, from what I've gathered over the weeks, that in the infant school and to the junior school, there is a lot of Christianity teaching in that area. But then we come to move to other schools. Now, I spoke a couple of weeks ago with Mike's wife, Claire, on Zipporah as to what she was learning at school to try and find out for the next sort of age range up. And yes, there's some Christianity material there, but there's also sort of the move to equality and different relationships, and then the different religions that there are. But one of the things that really touched me that Claire said was that the teacher in the class a week beforehand, and the class is over 30 children, had asked the question, put your hand up if you consider yourself a Christian. And Zipporah was the only one in the class that put her hand up. And well done, Zipporah, for that, for doing that. That took some doing. Now, young Stephen, who gave his heart to the Lord on Friday night, I've spoken with him a few times, and I asked him what he was doing. He's in year 10 at another school. And one of the things is, for children today, is that it comes to options time. And we get a group of four subjects in one box and four subjects in the other box. And they have to take one subject from one box and one subject from the other box as their option. He didn't take RA. So the chances of actually choosing with the options whether you take RE or not, you know, it's quite slim now. So I come to our grandson Ethan, who many of you know. Now Ethan left Bishop Barrington last summer, and I asked him and also his girlfriend, who was also in the same year, what they were doing in RE. When he originally made his option, he chose RE. But he couldn't do it for one reason only. There weren't enough children that had chosen RE to make a class. So this is some of the battles that are going on with children. You know, and this is why I'm so thankful that when the children go upstairs, that there is some Christian teaching into them. And we've got the Youth Alpha as well. You know, so keep praying for that ministry. It's so important. When I talk with Ethan and his girlfriend, you know, I says, what are they teaching now when you get to year 10, year 11? And he was quite clear on that. A large part is about abortion. It's about suicide. It's about the death penalty, pro-life, pro-choice. Things like that. And it's almost as if Christianity is sort of being diluted and almost pushed away. And I know we live in a multi-faith society, and it's good to know all the other sort of religions that are there. But at the same time, there is not the Christian teaching like we used to have. And that's why I'm so thankful that when the children go upstairs, they're getting Christian teaching. So I also asked the question, well, what about assemblies? I mean, I know I'm an old dinosaur, but when I was at school and you had assembly, you would certainly sing a hymn, probably do the Lord's Prayer, probably have a scripture reading. That was then, many, many times ago. Now, with assembly, it's a case of, well, it's for notices. So if attendance has been poor, then that's brought up. If it's a fire drill or the fire alarm's gone off, there's all information about that. but nothing of what there was in the olden days, so to speak. So pray for our children particularly. Pray for what is going on here, because seeds are being sown into their life where they're not getting it quite so much when they move up to big school. I said names are important, and certainly the young children that I saw at the Methodist Church were, they were overjoyed that their name was brought up. And in the Bible, King David's name means beloved. Esther's name, star. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And Jesus called Simon Peter, meaning the rock. Names in the Bible of often have a special significance. When Luke wrote the book of Acts that we've been reading this morning, he specifically included information about Tabitha and the Greek version of her name, Dorcas, which both means gazelle. This animal was common in Israel during the biblical times, and in the Song of Solomon, the bride compares her groom with his energetic strength and beauty to a gazelle. Song of Songs 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "My beloved, behold, he is coming, leaping on the mountains, jumping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle." This image adds richness to Luke's hint that Dorcas' name is important. And when you think with Dorcas and the work that she did with clothing, there's no sewing machines or anything like that. A lot of energy was needed to stitch garments for people that she knew and to shower her community with treasures of her clothing. And we can go back even to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. He brought them to Adam to see what Adam would name them. And whatever Adam named each living creature, that was its name." So Adam gave names to the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. And what gets me is, God let Adam name the animals. And God listened to see what he would call them. God had that great connection with Adam, exactly the same as he wants that same connection with you and I. God doesn't change, and he listens to you and I today and every day. God's attention to you, down to the last detail, is a sign of his great love. Let the same love be your hallmark in every relationship. In this way, God can change your heart and the world. Your name is important, and you are as well, every single one of you. Amen.